Amen. Let's take our Bibles once again and open together to Hebrews chapter 10. A reading from Hebrews 10 and then a reading from Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 10, and we'll be reading verses 19 through 25, and our subject for this evening is the congregation's responsibility to elders. So again, let's hear God's word. Hebrews 10, beginning in verse 19. Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the holy places by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way that he opened for us through the curtain, that is, through his flesh, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience, and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. Now let's turn to Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13, and we'll read verses 7 through 21. Remember your leaders, those who spoke to you the word of God. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. Jesus Christ is the same, yesterday and today and forever. Do not be led away by diverse and strange teachings, for it is good for the heart to be strengthened by grace, not by foods, which have not benefited those devoted to them. We have an altar from which those who serve the tent have no right to eat. For the bodies of those animals whose blood is brought into the holy places by the high priest as a sacrifice for sin are burned outside the camp. So Jesus also suffered outside the gate in order to sanctify the people through his own blood. Therefore, let us go to him outside the camp and bear the reproach he endured. For here we have no lasting city, but we seek the city that is to come. Through him, then, let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God, that is, the fruit of lips that acknowledge his name. Do not neglect to do good and to share what you have, for such sacrifices are pleasing to God. Obey your leaders and submit to them, for they are keeping watch over your souls as those who will have to give an account. Let them do this with joy and not with groaning, for that would be of no advantage to you. Pray for us, for we are sure that we have a clear conscience, desiring to act honorably in all things. I urge you the more earnestly to do this in order that I may be restored to you the sooner. Now may the God of peace, who brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, and by the blood of the eternal covenant, equip you with everything good that you may do his will, working in us that which is pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Amen. Let's pray briefly. Our Father in heaven, we call upon you now and acknowledge our great need for your work and the work of your Son and your Spirit as the Word is proclaimed. And so we pray, Lord, that Christ now would be lifted up among us, even as we consider the topic of submission to elders. We pray that Christ would be in view, that he would be glorified. We pray that your Spirit would give us ears to hear, minds to understand, and the desire to apply and to live what we hear. And we pray in all of this that you might have the glory. We pray in the great name of Christ. Amen. Well, after a short break, we return to our consideration of the office of elder. And as most of you already know, we are considering biblical eldership in preparation for an election at the end of the month of March. And so far in our studies, we have considered the importance of the office of elder. We have thought about the duties laid out in the Bible for elders, and we have spent a few weeks considering the qualifications for the office of elder. And so far, all of those studies have focused on elders themselves. And those studies have challenged and convicted those of us who serve as elders and those who are considering serving in this office of elder. But this evening, we want to shift our focus a bit and think about your responsibilities to elders, which means that this evening, the challenge likely will be to you as the congregation. The Bible has much to say about elders and their duties, but it also says something to you as the congregation in relation to your elders. The Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, by design, have chosen to govern their church by elders. And the Lord, in turn, has given responsibilities to you, the congregation, that you must carry out. Now, vow 4 of the RPCNA's Covenant of Church Membership gets at the heart of some of these responsibilities. And I have included that in your outline. So if you flip over your bullets and you'll see it there at the top of your outline. And that vow reads this way. Do you promise to submit in the Lord to the teaching and government of this church as being based upon the Scriptures and described in substance in the Constitution of the Reformed Presbyterian Church of North America? Do you recognize your responsibility to work with others in the church? And do you promise to support and encourage them in their service to the Lord? In case you should need correction in doctrine or life, do you promise to respect the authority and discipline of the church? Now, that vow gets to the heart of some of the responsibilities that you, as the congregation, have to your elders. And I want us to focus on two areas this evening. First, you're required to support the elders in their work. You may have noticed that part of vow 4 is a recognition of your responsibility to work with others in the church, to support them, to encourage them, to help them along in their service to the Lord. And then you are required to submit in the Lord to your elders. And so we will very briefly consider each of those. And so first of all, you have the responsibility to support your elders in their work. While the elders are called to serve and they are appointed to a formal ordained leadership in the church, That doesn't mean that you are not involved in the elders' work. You, in a very real way, provide support to your elders in their duties. The church in the Bible is presented as a body working together in service of Christ and in service of one another. And so how do you, as the congregation, support your elders in their work? Well, first of all, you must consider yourself. In other words, in light of who you are in Christ, you are to take responsibility for your spiritual life. In that passage we read from Hebrews chapter 10, we find that in light of the finished work of Christ, in light of the blessings that He has attained for you, you are to draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith. The writer goes on to command us to hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for He who promised is faithful. And so through the enabling of the Holy Spirit, you are to take heed to yourselves. You are to seek growth in grace. You are to watch your life and your doctrine closely. Those are responsibilities of every Christian. In Scripture, Christians are called disciples. We are called soldiers. We are referred to as athletes. And all of those titles imply a diligent, disciplined care of your own soul. Now, disciples have a master. Soldiers have a commanding officer. Athletes have a coach. But that doesn't mean that their leaders do everything for them. And so your elders are given as your overseers, but yet they are not your spiritual chaperones. They are not there with you 24/7. And that means you must take your Christian walk seriously. You must be killing sin in your life. You must be pursuing new obedience. And one of the most practical ways that you can do this is by making diligent use of the means of grace. And I would again call to your remembrance the exhortations that we heard last Lord's Day evening. The exhortations to come to worship in faith. To come listening for the voice of the Lord. Come asking the Holy Spirit to fix your eyes firmly on Jesus, the author and finisher of your faith. And so we all need to consider ourselves. But we also support the elders in their work by considering one another. Again, elders are given formal oversight of the congregation, but that doesn't mean that we don't look out for one another. There are 58 one another commands in the New Testament that are not addressed specifically to elders, but are addressed to believers in general, to the whole congregation. Commands to serve one another, to love one another, to care for one another. And we find two of those one another commands in that passage we read from Hebrews in verses 24 and 25 of chapter 10. The writer says, "And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. And so as a congregation, when we encourage one another, when we love one another, when we graciously correct one another, we, in a very tangible way, support the elders in their work. Now, secondly, we are called to submit to and to obey elders. And if you want to turn there, this comes from Hebrews chapter 13, verse 17. And in that verse, the writer gives a command. He says, obey your leaders and submit to them. And so here is your responsibility to your elders. Obey and submit. Now, those are not popular words today, but they have never been popular words. Ever since the fall, there is a natural rebelliousness in us that resists authority. And to make matters worse, we live in a culture that has rejected any sort of authority structure. In our culture, the individual is sovereign. The resounding message of our culture is to follow your own heart. Don't let anyone tell you what to do. John Stott said, seldom, if ever, in its long history has the world witnessed such a self-conscious revolt against authority. And it's also hard for us to submit to elders because they are imperfect men. We are sinful. We make mistakes. And yet, Christ, the King and head of the church, calls for submission and obedience to his appointed leaders. He doesn't say obey perfect leaders. He doesn't say obey your leaders if they never make a mistake. He doesn't say obey your leaders if you always agree with how they do things. He says obey your leaders. Now, the fact that God commanded this should be enough. But in Hebrews 13, 17, we are given four motivations, four reasons why we should submit to and obey our elders, four reasons to help us see the benefit of submitting to our elders. So we'll consider each of those briefly. First of all, we should obey our elders because of the nature of their work. Because of the nature of their work. The Holy Spirit says to us in verse 17, obey your elders and submit to them, for they are keeping watch over your souls. Your elders keep watch over your souls. The Greek literally reads that they are sleepless over your souls. And so here is the work of the elder. They are concerned about your spiritual well-being, your growth in grace. Your elder's great concern is your relationship with Jesus Christ. Your elders pray for your growth in grace, and very often we literally lose sleep over you. We lose sleep being concerned for you, praying for you, praying for wisdom, to know how to counsel you. Your elder's great desire is to see you grow in the grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the imagery here in this verse is the imagery of a night watchman. Soldiers would be positioned in a high tower where they would keep watch over the city. And if they saw an enemy approach, they would alert the citizens of the city and they would say, there is danger at hand. And in light of that danger, they would give commands to the people. They would say, go here, do this. In light of this danger, take action. And how foolish it would be for those people to say to these watchmen, why should we listen to you? Who are you to tell me what to do? That kind of attitude would put the people in danger. And in a similar way, we must not disregard the counsel and the warnings of those whose duty it is to keep watch over your souls. We should submit and we should obey the men who are called to bring the care and protection of Christ to your lives. Secondly, we should obey our elders because of their accountability. Because of their accountability. Obey your leaders and submit to them, for they are keeping watch over your souls as those who will have to give an account. And we previously thought about that verse from the elders' perspective, and we thought about what a sobering thing it is that elders will have to give an account to God for their work. But you will notice here that the writer is not necessarily speaking to elders. He's speaking to a congregation, and he's giving the elders' accountability as a reason for them to obey their elders. In other words, he's saying, because elders have to give an account, you should submit to them. Now, why is this a reason for you to submit to your elders? Why is their accountability to God a motivating factor for you to submit to them? Well, very simply, it shows whom the elders are representing. It shows whom the elders are representing. If an elder is accountable to God, then that means they are acting on behalf of Christ. Now please hear me correctly, hear me carefully. Elders fail. We don't do this perfectly, but in all of our sin and fallenness, we seek to carry out the will of Christ. Even in our sin, we seek to do what we do in the power of the Spirit. And so you should obey your elders because they represent Christ to you. It is to Him that we must give an account. Thirdly, we should obey our elders because of the depth of their care. Because of the depth of their care. Obey your leaders and submit to them. Let them do this with joy and not with groaning. Submission to your elders lets them do their job with joy and not with groaning. And those two terms, the terms joy and groaning, speak to the depth of the elders' care for you. In other words, elders are not emotionally uninvolved. In all of our imperfection, In all of our sin, we can say without reservation that we love you and we care for you. When you grow in Christ, when you experience victory over sin, when you repent, we rejoice with you. When we see your growth in grace, we are sincerely filled with joy. On the other hand, when you grieve, we grieve. When you experience trials, we are burdened for you. When you are rebellious and disobey the Lord, we are grieved, we groan within our souls for you. Elders are not cold professionals. There is a deep and true care for you. And again, hear me correctly. We know that our love for you is imperfect. We know that we fail you, but yet we do love you. And we do care for you in a deep way. And that means whenever we call you to do something or not to do something, whether it be from this pulpit or whether it be from one of your elders in a visitation or whether it be in a session meeting, when we exhort you, when we encourage you, when we rebuke you, it comes from men who love you. Those things come from someone who loves you like a father or a younger brother or an older brother. There is a depth to the elders' care for you. Finally, you should obey your elders because it will be to your advantage. Obey your leaders and submit to them, for they are keeping watch over your souls as those who will have to give an account. Let them do this with joy and not with groaning, for that would be of no advantage to you. If you reject the help and the counsel of your elders, the scriptures clearly tell you that you hurt yourself. If you have men who are appointed to keep watch over your souls, who are accountable to God, who care for you deeply, and you reject their counsel, this verse tells you that you are endangering yourself. Disobedience to your elders would be of no advantage to you. The devil's lie is that we find joy and happiness in doing our own thing. His lie is that submission to the Lord is going to enslave us. His lie is that by requiring obedience of you, that God really doesn't love you or have your best interest in mind. And here we are reminded that submission and obedience to the Lord will be to your advantage. Proverbs 13:13 says, "Whoever scorns instruction will be destroyed, but whoever respects a command is rewarded." Your elders want to see you obey the Lord. They want to see you prosper. They want to see you know Christ and not only have life in Him, but have it abundantly. Well, there is one more responsibility that you have. We see it in verse 18. Where the writer says, pray for us. pray for us. You have the responsibility to pray for your leaders. We desperately need your prayers. And so I exhort you to pray for us. And in light of the upcoming election, pray for the men that the Lord has chosen. Pray that we would have a clear conscience. Pray that the Lord would equip all of us to carry out our duties in humble reliance on Christ. Now, in closing, I would like you to turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And I want to read this in closing because in these closing words of this letter, we see all of these responsibilities come together. And so as I read, I want you to listen for these responsibilities, the responsibilities of taking responsibility for your walk with Christ, considering and encouraging one another, submitting to your leaders, praying for them, and doing it all in humble reliance on Christ. So listen for those responsibilities. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, I'll begin reading in verse 8. But since we belong to the day, let us be sober, having put on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet, the hope of salvation. For God has not destined us for wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, so that whether we are awake or asleep, we might live with him. Therefore, encourage one another and build one another up, just as you are doing. We ask you, brothers, to respect those who labor among you and who are over you in the Lord, and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love because of their work. Be at peace among yourselves. And we urge you, brothers, admonish the idle, encourage the faint-hearted, help the weak, be patient with them all. See that no one repays anyone evil for evil, but always seek to do good to one another and to everyone. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Do not quench the Spirit. Do not despise prophecies, but test everything. Hold fast what is good. Abstain from every form of evil. Now may the God of peace sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit and soul and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He who calls you is faithful. He will surely do it. Brothers, pray for us. Greet all the brothers with a holy kiss. I put you under oath before the Lord to have this letter read to all the brothers. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen. Let's pray.